Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of the NerdWatch podcast. We here at the NerdWatch are recording early this week because we have a special guest from Wanata Island, brah.
Format!
He is... we have DJ Kiavikani from the Big Woo! Island, man.
He is
here, and he is here to talk about his comic... His life as an artist, his life as a writer. Well, he's here to talk about all his good stuff. It's nice to have a talented comic book artist on this show.
It is, isn't it?
For once.
For once. I'm really... You know, you have no idea. No, that's not true, because we had Joe Rubenstein on the show.
Oh, that's right. We did have Joe Rubenstein.
For twice.
And, we had
but no more than twice.
We had Theo Lee on the show.
That's true.
Thrice, but no more than thrice.
So we've had some talented...
Scott Lobdell.
Scott Lobdell.
He's a wonderful artist.
He is a wonderful artist.
G-Money.
I really like his style.
He loves his art.
He loves his art. But of course, if you don't know who DJ is, he's the new guy with the kicking mustache. I'm sitting right next to me. DJ's here. Also joining
That's
us tonight.
A goatee.
That is a goatee.
It's a full
isn't
goatee,
it?
Man.
It's a full goatee. I'm sorry.
You're like blanking out in the middle of the podcast.
Well, you know. All right.
Artists, mustaches, goatees, whatever.
Same thing.
Same difference. Also joining us tonight is the one and only, the very talented Todd Bernardi. He's in the house tonight
but
as well.
You're not paying attention. He just called you talented.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
Yes,
no.
I did.
Well, he made a mistake.
Also joining us tonight is our horror aficionado and the punk rock superstar. Gannon is in the house tonight as well. And tonight in the house is our gaming guru, Format. And the chairman of the comic book board, the man who owns the shop that we sit in here every week to record, it is Alika. He's in the house tonight as well. And of course, behind the camera is Swan, our comic book henchman. He's here.
He's waving at the camera.
He's waving at the camera.
I know you get
the camera.
He's waving at the camera.
Waving at the camera.
You're waving at the battery.
You're waving at the battery pack, at the monitor. Man,
that's talent,
nice.
Golly!
I like it. Hello,
that's,
everybody. From behind the scenes,
fantastic.
You should edit yourself like a little window of you going.
Wow, you should do that for sure.
He's an artist that doesn't want to interfere with the work.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, he does. But of course, as we said earlier, we're recording special because DJ was in town signing books, doing commissions right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles all day long. His fingers are cramped. And there you go.
Hey,
there.
My fingers are cramped too. Who cares about my fingers?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But-
I'm not
don't
even.
Please don't talk
don't
right
talk.
Now, Todd.
Don't talk.
That's not your moment.
Yeah.
That was a tremendous setup.
Stop it.
Man.
Don't do it.
That's right.
Okay, I'll let
But
it
before
go.
We get to talking more in depth to DJ about his life, his work, his art, we're going to talk to Alika, the man from the comic book board, because we're going to talk a little bit of comic books and find out what's coming out this week in Maui Comics and Collectibles. As you all know, every Tuesday is 20% off Tuesday, and every Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday.
Full here at price, New Comic Book Wednesday.
That's right. Full price. New Comic Book Wednesday, 333 Derry Road in Kahului. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles. Let's find out what's going on this week in the world comics.
All right, I'm gonna, since we have two independent artists, not one, but two independent artists at the table, I'm
gonna
start
off with Marvel.
With Marvel. That's right.
Nice.
All new X-Men number 14, Black Panther number 7, Carnage number 13, Amazing Spider-Man number 20, Deadpool Back in Black number 2,
yeah,
where he's wearing the Venom symbiote suit.
Ooh.
Deadpool Too Soon number 1. I think a lot of people die in that one, maybe. Death of X, number 2, that giant X-Men and humans crossover, and Spider-Gwen, number 13.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, Spider-Gwen, number how many?
13.
Wow.
Lucky 13. On to DC, slightly more independent than Marvel. I was trolling you there, Todd, but here's some real independence.
Who could tell?
The ones Bugs Bunny owns, not Disney.
Oh, okay. I'm glad.
I mean, Mickey Mouse. Bugs Bunny owns.
Mickey Mouse owns these?
No, this is Bugs Bunny owns.
Oh, this is Bugs.
Aquaman number 9.
Bugs Bunny owns Aquaman?
Batman number 9.
Aquaman. I got to start reading that book.
What does Bugs Bunny make Aquaman do?
Stuff.
Wear green pants and orange shirts for the rest of eternity.
I like it.
Batman number 9. Cyborg number 3. Batman Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, number 6.
Finally.
A lot of words and numbers in that one.
There is.
Yeah. Justice League number 7.
The Master Race. Is that the end? Is that?
No, it's 9 issues. They
expanded
it to 9.
You know the book called The Master Race.
Oh, that's his favorite.
White Flower. No, just kidding.
You still have to try out, G.
Oh, I do. No. Yeah. Okay, so wait a minute. So how many books are going
to
be in this?
9. It was supposed to be 8, but they bumped it to 9, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
So,
and they kind of pre-announced that there was going to be a big gap in the books after 6. So they warned us.
So issue 9 is going to be the end of the Master Race?
I believe so. I hope so. For G's sake.
You missed out on a hell of a joke there, my friend.
They stretched it out so that they could end the Master Race after the election.
Oh, that is true. I never thought about that.
Or maybe the ending will change depending on who gets elected.
That's a good one.
If Trump gets elected, it becomes an ongoing series.
Or maybe Frank Miller's really, really sick.
Yeah.
He is, dude. Have you seen him lately?
They're like carting him around. They're like, Frank, you wrote this, right?
Frank Miller somehow got older than Stan Lee.
It's crazy.
He started later and ended sooner.
Anyway.
Well, Sam's retiring this year, too. Yeah.
That's what happens when you have that much talent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just uses you up.
He's retiring, like, official, like, show-ups, but he's still showing up left and right.
Yeah. All right. What else is on that list?
Harley Quinn, number 6. Mm-hmm. Superman, number 9. The Trinity, number 2. Mm. That's with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Green Arrow, number 9, and Green Lanterns, number 9.
Wait, Green Arrow and Green Lantern, are they there in the same?
They're not in the same book, but they're on the same issue number, separate books.
Oh. And they're both green.
I wish you weren't doing that on camera.
Swan said that the Green Arrow's book is actually really good.
Yeah, they've all been like, they have a lot of
subscribers. How are the lanterns? I mean, I have the lanterns.
I wish I had read any of this stuff to testify. Just checking it.
So you don't read mainstream comics either?
I don't read any comics because I don't have any time. Mm-hmm. I've been reading Saga. That's probably the only one I read now.
Is there a new Flash book coming out?
Yeah. No, that came out last week.
Yeah.
Oh, last week was the new issue?
I think
issue.
It's every 2 weeks for Flash.
Yeah. Cool.
For Independence, you're going to have to help me out, Todd, because I'm only going to mention a couple. But, well, this kind of doesn't count because it's DC's Young Animal imprint, which is like when they were doing Vertigo relaunch, Cave Carson, number 1. Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye.
And the cybernetic eye.
Yeah.
The art looks cool for it, at least. Promising.
Can it be? It's the guy from freaking My Chemical.
Actually, very cool. Everything he's been writing is good.
You sure?
Yeah, he's been doing good in comics. He should completely quit music.
He actually has.
Yeah, he even said, I saw that article where he said he has, and that's actually, and you know, it's also an opportunity for me to crap on their band, but that's a great decision.
There's nothing invariably wrong with the band.
I'm just...
The fact that you defend it on camera.
No, I mean, he really is a good comic book writer, though. Slighting anybody.
I'll be honest.
Do you like My Chemical Romance?
I like their earlier records, yes. Okay.
I wrote it off the moment I saw that he was a part of it because I thought it was just kind of like a...
Sure, like a CM Punk thing?
Right, like a cat.
Which, his run on Drax is actually doing good, too.
CM Punk had...
Well, that's kind of how I felt when Kevin Smith started writing stuff, and you're like... You know, right after the popularity of Clerks, he's like, he's using his celebrity to get in there.
And but nobody cared about Daredevil until he wrote it.
Let me tell you something. Green Arrow book that he wrote,
Quiver,
was one that got me back into comics, and I really liked that. That was a really good one. I
had a lot of requests for that one.
Yeah. He fluffed Black Canary's pillows in that book. That's the best I can do at a moment's notice for keeping a PG.
Gotcha. Nice. Good job.
Well done, sir.
Every time we talk about Green Arrow, we always make a left turn.
Yeah,
we do. Isn't that ironic?
Well, so this one's not really independent.
Transformers.
Kiss number 1.
Oh.
And all of its crazy variants that I'm forced to order as a comic retailer.
As in Kiss the Band?
Kiss the Band, a comic. Yeah. Much like they have been for the past.
What did you think he meant?
The past 30 to 40 years.
I love
Masters of Marketing. Kiss.
They are. Kiss.
If there's no blood variant, then I don't care.
I don't think they have a blood variant. I don't think Peter Chris would be down.
Now they're
for
like,
that.
Oh, you can get an STD.
He'd be like, oh, you guys want my blood now again after all that crap?
That was
we weren't worried about sexually transmitted disease in the '70s, but we are now. So
yeah, Marvel
blood variants.
I'm sure they mixed the blood separately.
Let me tell you something. I got to give props to Gene Simmons because I mean, for as long as he's been in the rock and roll business, here's a guy that has not once touched drugs, not once drank, and he has kept his life sober. And honestly, even though he's a ladies' man, he stayed with this one woman that he's been
Shannon
with, forever,
Tweed.
Shannon Tweed, forever. Yeah. So I mean, you know, that doesn't happen very often in the rock and roll business. So that's kind of really cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so very cool. Anyway, DJ, don't
and he's
don't
a part-time Maui,
chime in, pal.
Part-time Maui resident, too.
Part-time Maui resident.
Yes. My brothers brought him around on the ATV tours before the family, the sons, and everybody.
Cool.
He renewed his vows at the Haiku Mill.
Did he?
I've seen him at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Does the nerd? I guess the nerd
I see
watch.
Everyone at Whole Foods.
I know. The nerd watch stalks Gene Simmons. Apparently,
he goes.
He's never come here.
He's part owner of Rockin' Brews.
Yeah, he is.
I saw him at Costco, and he just was licking all the samples
while standing straight up.
Yeah,
happens all.
Is that him on Blade Runner?
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, no, Gene. That's he's in he's
in the movie Runaway.
Runaway. Oh, he's in Runaway with Tom Selleck.
Yeah,
that's a great movie. I love that. I own that movie. But yeah, Gene Simmons. We see him. I see more celebrities here than I ever did while living in California.
Oh yeah, my wife works at the Four Seasons, so it's like every day she's like, "Oh, I was talking to Adam Sandler, this and that."
Yeah, I've seen Adam Sandler all the time.
He said celebrities.
Wow. Well, he didn't say
Netflix stars.
Not Netflix stars. Yeah, that's it right there.
Pretty sure he was famous a little bit before Netflix came out.
Anyway, what else is on the list? Is that it? Or we
Die Kitty Die?
What? Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an interesting book because it's got a dark
kitty that dies.
It's
nice. Twice even.
It's, oh.
Spoiler.
It means something different when Trump yells it. No, it's a...
Die Kitty Die is officially the name of the podcast.
No, no it's not.
No?
No.
I like that. We could do better than that.
Darwin Cook did a variant for it, and he's passed on last year. So it's it'll be...
Wait, so he drew a book after he died?
Yeah, he's amazing. That
it's a ghost variant. Crap. It's a totally new
it's
thing.
It's a ghost variant.
Totally new thing in the industry.
It's a ghost variant.
It's like... It's
well,
like,
right now, what's his name for DC? Michael Turner is doing a lot of ghost variants, apparently.
Because
he's been dead quite some time, and all of his variants.
Now, that's some ghost variant right there.
Yeah, that's ghost variants. That guy's been dead a while.
I've heard of
ghost variants.
You know, we should just, like, bank a bunch of pods, and then when we die, we can have, like, ghost pods.
Our ghost pods. But we got to do them really spooky-like.
Yeah.
And predict the future, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah.
Do some, ghost like, two-pocalypse kind of stuff.
So when you're reading the ghost variants, does a ghost come behind you?
Making pottery.
Making pottery. Because that would be awesome.
Not the side
And practice. Also a Ghostbusters joke. Ghostbusters 2016.
Oh, wow. Really? Speaking of that, I did my due diligence, not to throw us off track too much.
You bought the Ghostbusters Blu-ray.
I did not, but I watched the director's cut.
And it sucked.
Genius.
And I'm going to buy it.
By the way, it's not a director's cut.
It's not. It's an extended edition. I did not notice anything that was remotely different. It was really strange.
I almost bought it at Walmart the other day, but only because it came with a pair of socks.
What?
Oh, dope.
You really needed socks.
Are you serious?
It was Ghostbusters socks.
Yeah.
No way.
I almost bought based on that alone.
Wow.
And then I realized I was going to be spending $24 for a pair of socks.
Socks. Yeah, I saw the director's cut. I wasn't impressed. The extended edition, and I wasn't impressed. So, anyway,
I'm going to get it.
Unless Todd has some crazy, weird, independent book. Oh, you know what else came out today? Exilion number 3.
Yeah.
Exilion number 3.
And it basically is almost sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Good segue. Yeah,
it's the
good thing we brought it up then, because by the time anybody hears this, there won't be any copies left.
That is DJ Cavicani's book. We also got restocked.
This guy.
We also got restocked on the first printings of the number one.
Wow!
And
what?
DJ, not being the collector that I am, didn't realize how crazy valuable that's gonna. He charged me just regular market price. Those babies are getting bumped away.
So you instantly put them up on the shelf for $40.
Oh, you know that.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well done, sir.
Speaking of our guest, DJ Cavicani, the man from the Big Island, is here tonight, and he is with the Nerd Watch to talk a little bit about himself about his work, about his art, and about himself.
Did you say himself like three times?
Yes.
Okay.
DJ, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for coming tonight, man. Appreciate it. Well, actually, you should thank us for coming tonight because we're not normally.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming tonight.
Hey, we were happy to do it.
Oh, good.
DJ.
Yeah. Actually, I would have been here.
Anyways. Yeah.
Oh,
you couldn't pull me away. No. But DJ, sir, you, of course, you and I met, of course, at the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
And you still showed up.
I know, right? And then he's right. You were dragged over by Todd to our booth to do a little interview.
I had to go with him because he wasn't going to.
You can actually hear that on our Nerdwatch podcast page. Just look for Nerdwatch interviews, and DJ's on there. We'll get to a little more in depth and talk more about you. First off, DJ, you are originally from the Big Island. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, from Hilo. I was born in Honolulu, and then I moved over there when I was like, I don't know, 6-7 months old. Something.
Oh,
like
crazy.
That.
Okay, so you're a Big Island boy, then.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So. All my life, Hilo. That's all I know. Besides when I moved to Honolulu after I graduated, and then I did some work in Massachusetts after I graduated. And I lived in
that hellhole.
What part of Massachusetts?
Peabody, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where that is.
You guys were talking about Boston.
Boston,
today.
I lived right outside of Boston for about 12 years.
He
knows all the stuff.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston.
The sewers of New York City.
That's what I was doing, is actually. Sewers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, how do I call
them? They don't make them like in the city. Over here, you got the 8-inch, 24-inch pipes. Over there, you can walk in them.
How topical.
So, obviously, you didn't enjoy the mainland that much. You came back home, I'm taking?
Yeah, I was doing work. The company that I was working for, I was doing like plumbing and stuff like that. And my boss had he came from Massachusetts, so he was always trying to tell me, you got to work in Massachusetts. So I was like, okay. So I finally went one time, and then it was fun, and then it was like temporary work. So
right,
but I came
kind of like almost like a vacation.
Yeah, it was, but it was like
work. But
it was work. Yeah.
So, okay, so how old were you then?
I was like 21 and 22 or 23.
Were you dabbling in the comic book arts?
No, at that time I fully stopped.
You fully stopped, which means that you started. When did you start?
Okay, so I started drawing actually when I was like kindergarten. Yeah. So I was like, you know, 5, 6, whatever that is. And then I was always like the best artist in school. And then, you know, all the kids would be like, oh, Dwayne, draw me something. You know, draw whatever. And then I knew I wanted to be an artist. And then so I started drawing. And then, but when I came 18 and I graduated, I asked them, you know, you gotta, like, how do I become an artist and all of that. At the time, they said, you have to move to New York City. And I was like, hell no.
New York City?
Exactly. I was like.
So what years is this? Like, just to put in reference for what the industry is.
Yeah, I graduated in 1995.
So it's like the mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s, yeah. And like, I was like 8.
So it's still true. Like, internet culture hadn't really taken
over.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
there was
no
way to work from your office and stuff.
Yeah, none of that. So I stopped and then. But I was doing my music thing though. And
whoa! Like, what music?
Oh man,
thing?
There was actually some two teachers, one from Kamehameha and one from Seabury, and they were just like gushing about DJ and his music. You got to listen to DJ. Oh man, I don't know how he is as an artist, but I hope he's as good as he is a musician and this and that. And so apparently his reputation precedes him.
What were you doing?
Yeah, well, I still play music. I go in band. We play like local music, island music, and stuff like that.
What's the name of your group?
Kaleo Maoli. Okay. We get on Facebook page, by the way. Kaleo Maoli.
Check
them out.
Putting the band on
and,
there.
We play for all kinds of parties and stuff like that. Sometimes they fly us to different islands and we play for gigs and stuff like that. We used to do like reggae and stuff like that, but we kind of outgrew that.
So it's all just like Hawaiian.
Yeah, Hawaiian.
Slower
and, kind of dinner music and stuff like that. Yeah, party music and stuff like that, but... We was like full on.
How many guys
point.
In your group?
Just three of us now. Before I had five. We used to have the drums and all.
Like,
that
what if somebody like requests a dance song at the party? You'd play them, or
yeah.
Are you a musician or a singer?
Both. I play guitar and I sing.
We
sing lead and backup. All of us, all three of us, we get our own. Like, the gig is, like, we usually start off with Hawaiian music, mm-hmm. and then, like, my cousin and my brother, that's my two bandmates, and then
sure.
they sing first, and then I sing, like, a couple Hawaiian songs, and then it starts moving over into, like, dinner music and that island kind
of
contemporary stuff.
Party,
and that's kind of when I...
Celebrate!
Yeah. And then, and covers, nice. You know, plenty of covers, and then I usually take over like from the halfway point to the end, so it's like
all right. Well, screw the comic book talk. Let's talk more about the band.
Yeah.
I know, we should have queued up some samples.
I know, right?
All right. We'll have Swan edited in. Later.
But yeah, so I started. So we started jamming in high school, and I was like, that was when like the Call Creator Boys and all of that was coming out, and so we started playing music, and then so I was doing music and I was doing a drawing thing, but the music thing was getting better because
sure
we was going out and was, you know, having fun, was drinking,
doing gigs,
all,
man.
Yeah, was gigging, so yeah. So when I was like my senior year, it was so good fun because we was like we was living like rock stars. We was going like to everybody's parties and showing up and be like, hey, come play for this right. party, and so
free
yeah
food.
I was doing that, yeah. Free. Well, free food, free beer, you know, free whatever. And this is all for exposure, and it's like exposure means we're gonna party, and so we did that, you know what I mean? And so so that was the thing that kind of held me over creatively, like until I, you know, I started.
You had an outlet.
Yeah, I had the outlet. Yeah.
So when did you start to turn the corner and go? Not to say that music doesn't fulfill you; it fulfills you in a different way. When did you go, man? I need to fulfill this burning desire in me to start drawing.
What? Yeah. No, it's true though. It's like, no, but so when I got into a car accident when I was like 25 because I was drinking and driving.
Don't do that,
don't
kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Drink and
so,
drive.
I'm
don't
drinking
wait for
and
that
driving
to happen to you.
Don't drink and drive. And you'll end up drawing comics.
Yeah.
That's not the message.
Oh, sorry.
Not the message.
What we're talking about.
Let me clarify Nerdwatch message. Man, that was stupid.
Bro, you forgot the bro.
Oh,
thing.
Man, you stupid, bro. Yeah. Sorry.
That was dumb, but I had fun.
Sounds wrong when you do it.
Oh, I know it doesn't.
Man, you stupid, bro.
Thank you. Much better. So you got into a car accident. How serious was it?
I broke my back in like three places.
Oh.
Ended up in Queens. Back surgery and
New York City?
Queens, New York.
Oh, no, you mean the Queens
Hospital. Queens Hospital. Sorry.
Man,
wow,
you're stupid.
You were being serious. That's nuts. I thought that was a joke.
No, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was
totally
funny
wasn't.
When I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Well, now that I know
funny.
That you were serious.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are cracking
that
me.
That must have been some accident. I feel like your back
airlifted
up in Queens.
Airlifted to New York.
Anyway.
Let's get this guy to New York. Stat.
Queens!
My leg ended up in Manhattan.
I had an ankle in Harlem.
We can rebuild them.
Yeah, they did. They actually get two steel rods in my back.
Still?
Yeah. Still, yeah.
Wow.
That's not coming.
Airports must suck for you.
Oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't beep. It's titanium.
Titanium.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it doesn't beep, yeah.
So how long were you
man,
in?
Man, you're like Wolverine now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You got
just missing the claws.
Snick, baby.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So how long were you in traction for?
What's traction?
In recovery, basically.
Oh, like 1 year. I spent like... Just
that's a lot of
therapy
time doing
and,
nothing.
Yeah, so that's when my mom was like, "Here, son, you must be bored here." She brought my old sketchbook, and I was like, "Wow, yeah." So I started drawing again.
Mm-hmm.
I left them. Damn it! I should have brought them. But anyways,
oh, your sketchbook,
I started drawing again, and then because at that point, I never really know if I was going. You know, they were saying, you know, you might be paralyzed and blah 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 blah
right.
and all of that stuff. So I knew I wasn't going to be paralyzed, but I was like, that's a good way for start drawing again. So I started drawing again, and then I was like, and I like stop. And then I went to college, and then I took up space, and then I met my wife, and then she had her own computer, and I was like, what is that?
Have you finished paying off your student loans? Just sorry, out of curiosity.
No,
I haven't even started paying off
me
loans.
Too. I looked at what I owed on the back balance. I'm like, oh, please. Somehow, Bernie Sanders, please win.
we're going to write him in.
Yeah, I'm writing that guy in. I can't pay these loans anymore.
I might write
sorry to interrupt,
dude.
Man.
No,
that's just
no,
the first thing I thought
everybody
of.
Everybody going to write in Bernie.
Nerdwatch gets political tonight.
That's right, apparently. So you decided that you weren't fitting in college. You got...
No, I got my wife pregnant. I got my girlfriend at the time.
Fit in just fine.
I got my girlfriend at the time pregnant, and was like, oh, damn, I got to work.
Then came marriage.
Yeah. So then I went back to plumbing, which is kind of stupid because I had rods in my back.
Sure.
But that's pretty much all I knew. So I went back to plumbing and I was miserable. And I was like trying to figure out how.
Super Mario.
Trying to figure
out. It's a me, a DJ.
Do you ever wear like red shirts
He's
and
like
blue
a
overalls?
Plumber.
Snick.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's pretty awesome. So you decided to, but you got your girlfriend at the time pregnant. So you had to go back to work, obviously. Right. So when does the corner turn for you to where you said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to start taking my drawing seriously.
It was when I got into the action. Like, I wanted to keep the drawing thing going. And so when I met, like, that was the thing, when I met my girlfriend, she was like, I don't care what you do, you can collect rubbish. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the one.
Nice.
Because
support.
Because there's no money in comics. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so.
That's awesome.
So I did that. But I was trying to, like, do it on the side and work and all of that.
Sure.
And then, but I was so miserable, like. Just working the day job and then trying to balance that and having the kid and then the next kid and then the next kid and just trying to juggle all of that. And I was just miserable until finally I got the job at the hospital. I was working security at the hospital and they put me overnight. And overnight was like some nights was busy, but some nights was slow, so I could draw on the slow nights. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do this. So I figured out. You know, if I work and draw at the same time, I can support my family and I can
technically they're paying.
Yeah, exactly. So,
nice.
But when I was working at the hospital, I always had to like hide my stuff. You know what I mean? So I was be like, and they knew, the people working with me knew, but like my bosses that wasn't working on shift, they was like, you cannot draw, and they knew I was drawing, but I was like, okay, I don't draw anyway.
Wow.
And so I just did that.
Man,
and
F the man.
Yeah. But yeah. You know what's. They were so, like, the nurses, the doctors, they were so, like, supportive. Oh, man, I hope you, you know, and they all bought, like, the first comics that I, they're all trying to support me and all of that. Nice. So that was pretty awesome. And then I left that job. I was going to go full on freelance in 2012. And that was rough because I was like, okay, the company that I was working for, the security company, they lost the contract for the hospital.
Okay.
And so I knew I was going to have to, like, switch locations, and the different locations I was going to have to work at, they wasn't going to let me, like, draw, like, the way I could. Right, and I was already invested so heavy. I was like,
sure.
Oh. So I quit cold. Like, I was like, hell this, I'm going to try them. And then I did them, and oh, my God, that was bad. Like... It was bad. Like,
what, was that when you did Island Tales?
Yeah, that was. Well, that was a little bit after, but
a little bit after.
I was trying to do the freelance thing. Like, well, I was thinking I got some work, but
were you,
just not
were
enough.
Were you on digital webbing at that point?
Yeah. I was digital webbing. Yeah,
and you were on digital webbing with a lot of other artists that were coming.
Yeah. That was the thing. I started out with like a lot of the pros that is working now.
Yeah.
I started out the same time with them. Like, I don't know if you guys know Ray Dillon and Renee DeLiz.
Yeah,
they're doing
Wonder Woman.
Legend
right
of
now.
Wonder Woman
Legend
right
of
now.
Wonder Woman.
Like, they started at the same time I did. Ryan Stegman, he was one of them. Like, Nick Patara, he's doing stuff with, like, Image and I forget who.
Ryan Otley started out on digital web.
Oh, yeah, too. Ryan Otley, too. Ryan Otley was right before me, and then he was...
Yeah.
That's how everybody was like trying to get in was through digital webbing online when you could went back before Facebook,
yeah,
and all of that. Just social media, the crazes before was the chat rooms and the forums and stuff.
Well,
like that.
For those of that are unaware, what is digital webbing?
Digital webbing
it
is
sounds
just
like MySpace for artists.
Yeah, enough of your you know shop talk, Todd. What is digital webbing?
So digital webbing, it's still on, but it's kind of a ghost town now. But digital webbing is this place where creative people go to kind of work on their craft and kind of meet each other and kind of ask questions
peer
about
review
the industry
and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then like the professionals go over there and they kind of see who's the new up and coming talent, and that's how a lot of people get picked up.
Oh,
because,
got
yeah,
it. It's like recruitment.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, kind of like a and then you can learn at the same time too. Oh. And so that was like the place to be at before Facebook took off and all.
Crazy. So it's kind of it was you had your own little Columbine, as they say. I was Columbine.
Whoa.
Combine.
Whoa.
Combine. Combine.
What? I'm a little more concerned that that's the first word
I know,
that
right?
was on the edge of your tongue.
No, yeah, I know. No, I meant combine, like the NFL. So it was kind of like you guys would do...
yes, a combine.
That was combine. I mean, it was...
yeah, I was killing it, yeah.
Yeah. Whoa! Oh. Wow! Holy cow!
No, I wasn't killing it.
wow, that's
was
crazy.
So that was 2006? 2004,
like between like I was I'm still on technically on.
So when
you
was it
deleted your
2004
account
was yeah.
when did the brilliant idea of Excellion come to you and say that this was the book that you were going to work on?
From the accident, I was like I was starting doing the drawings and stuff like that, but I had all these different ideas and I figured, you know what, I'm going to put all of this inside one book. And I wish I never. because it's like, you know, now the story is so long and all of that, but it's like it is what it is, and I got to stay with that. But I also found out that, like, not a lot of people like fantasy comics, and it's like...
I don't know, man. That's like...
ElfQuest,
exactly. No, I was just about
was,
to bring that up.
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons, Baldur's Gate. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about. But you asked... I mean, how many of you guys...
No, I'll tell you the truth. Like, just being a store owner, fantasy is not like...
Yeah.
The wide audience. Right. Those fans are dedicated to what they want, but there's not a lot of them.
Okay, so...
I don't know. I mean, that's not... I mean, there's...
And fantasy's kind of died out. Like, the 90s, it was a stronger audience than current.
We didn't get the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings films until the aughts.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a lot more kids boffing and LARPing back then. I don't even know if you know what that is now. It's probably extinct.
People LARP all the time.
Boff? Do you know what boff is?
Is it? No, I don't want to talk about that. Right
I used
now.
To do that in high school.
You totally don't know what it is.
No, oh. my sister
usually
has, she does that. She has like there's like this league or something that she does in Washington.
You make your own like foam and duct tape weapons and you battle each other.
That's LARPing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, well, there's LARPing and then there's boffing. There's
that's
two different.
What, I taught you know.
All right, so what's boffing?
Boffing is the weapons where you actually fight.
You have to do it.
And there's
privacy.
A point system. It's almost like fencing.
Dude, boffing meant something totally different in the '80s.
I don't even want to say the word that I think.
I know,
think
I know.
Mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think it is either. But DJ,
I'm gonna look it up.
Here's
later.
The thing.
Hey, I'm looking up right now.
You are an artist. You like to
image
draw,
search.
Correct?
Yes.
Now,
I like to do drawings.
You love the drawings.
The drawings.
How did that? How does your love of drawing become you trying to tell stories? I mean, because you, I'm assuming, like most comic book writers and artists, you have to draft your stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where does the discipline for that come in as opposed to you being, it seems like you're a natural at drawing, but where does the discipline come in to actually write a story? Because that's like double duty right there.
Yeah, it is. It really is. That's why I keep talking to like writer people. But when I was my time at Digital Webbing, I kind of like honed on my craft,
your skills.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I sharpened my skills and all of that because I was gonna do the freelance thing, and I did some freelance gigs and stuff like that. But it's just the work wasn't enough to support my family. But
sure.
But it allowed me to kind of sharpen, like really cut my teeth on something, like, you know.
So when it came to your book, you were prepared.
Right, yeah.
I was ready.
I was ready for my book when I, like, because I only started my book like 2014, and I was already working from was like 2000. I would say four. That's four is when I.
Is there a copy of Excellion that we can show everybody that's watching on YouTube?
Where's number one?
Oh wait, I got one.
Yeah,
where's number one?
Here's the thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your book, Excellion? What is it? What is the story behind it?
It's pure genius. Everybody should have one.
All right. Let me rephrase. DJ, could you tell us about Excellion?
Now, every issue is actually color.
Yeah.
The interior. This is a first printing. Only available at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
Now.
Hold that
until
up.
Enjoy Comics gets
hold
a copy.
That up.
Bucks.
Hold that up. Hold it up. Hold it up, Gannon.
The interior of the first printing is black and white. This is the only one that's like this.
Wow.
Do you have any of the other issues?
Yeah, it's like buried under.
Oh, he's got another one right there.
Oh, yeah, right there. That's number two right
number
there.
Number two. Yeah. Show the camera. You are up to how many issues of Excelium?
I got three right now.
Three?
Yeah, three released today.
Oh, fantastic. Show him. Get up on that camera.
Hey, he's stupid. We just said that earlier.
Yeah, you can go on the. Can he move a little closer to the camera or no? Is he good? Yeah. Move a little closer. Don't be shy. Show him that sexy arm of yours. Now show him the cover. Show him the cover. Show him the cover. Yeah. Work it. Yeah. Work it.
Now take your shirt off.
Take your shirt off.
Give me angry.
Undo your hair. Undo your hair.
Give me sexy.
Give me sassy.
Give me breezy. Oh, man.
And I'm spent.
Work it. Anyway.
Let's get a look at them neck necks.
So, Excelium, what's the story? Why, for those that have not picked it up yet, what would interest them in your book, Excelium?
I hate pitching this book, but I gotta pitch him.
Hey, it's your book. You gotta pitch it.
I gotta pitch him right now.
Okay. I mean, if you're interested in good storytelling, then this is the book for you.
Should I have Todd explain it?
Oh, man.
Todd, here's the thing, Todd. We have a time limit.
If you're interested in burly men in clanking armor. No,
wow. That's pretty good. Don't let Alika sell the book.
You like sweaty guys with swords.
That's right.
And beards.
Riding on top of dragons.
Are there dragons in Excelium?
There's going to be some dragons.
Oh, did we just spoil something?
No, man. I read the book and I spoil something.
I've heard this is the example I've heard about Excelium on Facebook. Excelium, if you have not heard, Excelium is a cross between, from what I understand, it is a cross between what you call X-Men and the Lord of the Rings.
What the real fans
series.
Call the X-Men.
Oh, easy. All right. We don't need your
name. So they wear spandex in his book.
It's possible.
No, yeah, when I pitch it, I say it's like the Lord of the Rings meets the X-Men. And the reason I say that is because the Lord of the Rings, obviously, because of the fantasy stuff, and the X-Men is because my style of art is so
the action scenes. I can see where you'd say that.
Yeah, like it's so what's the word? Inspired by the '90s comics, the X-Men comics, and so that's.
I could picture you drawing the art for one of the current X-Men '92.
I would love to do that.
Have you been seeing those comics, the X-Men '92 ones?
Yeah, but I haven't picked them up. I mean, I've seen them online, but.
I would love to do that. So are these? I mean, I don't want to say that fantasy is getting has had a renaissance, but I mean it kind of has. It's grown in popularity with Game of Thrones.
Fantasy had a renaissance.
Well, I think like
hilarious. A renaissance.
Well,
bear?
There was a time where
I thought you did that on purpose, but you did not.
I did not
did
do
you?
That on purpose. No, not that one. But no, it just seems like that what DJ was saying is that you know and
the Queens had a renaissance.
Fantasy isn't exactly where it used to be anymore, just like Alika was saying earlier. It's interesting that Game of Thrones is kind of bringing it back to the forefront. Mm-hmm. Not even Lord of the Rings kept it in that prime position. I mean, because after Lord of the Rings, it kind of just went down.
Well, and that's the thing is maybe there are these fantasy, but don't you remember in the 90s, like all across America, there were these medieval fairs, like in Massachusetts, there's a place called Medieval Times.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
You could go to these places and do, like, they have knights and jousting
right,
and all
right,
that.
Right, right.
I feel like a lot of that stuff kind of, like, fell off.
It just,
yeah, it did. Here I am drawing it.
No, man, it's not as prevalent in the comics world, but I think that, like, we're getting the movies, the television show, something like, I mean, we're living in a golden age
we're
of
like,
television.
We're ripping on fantasy right now, but
fantasy
in reality, and it's a really good comic, but fantasy is very strong in a lot of mediums.
It's just that like they've always had a real strong readership as far as books go.
Don't ask me because it's like such an easy genre to rip on if you wanted to.
And it is easily ripped on. But trust me, I know because I...
You do it yourself.
I was like, wow.
Do you think
they really don't like this stuff?
Kind of
huh?
A serious question. Do you think maybe that's why when people look at your work, they're hesitant because they are not familiar with the fantasy?
Oh, yeah.
If you have copies of Island Tales with you,
yeah, exactly.
People can't
love
get
that.
Enough
yeah,
of
exactly.
that because that's DJ drawing
okay,
Hawaiian
right.
stories.
Let's get into that. How did Island Tales come about? That was actually the first comic you did before Excelium, yes?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was Big Dog Inc.'s imprint, Island Tales. Island Tales is actually an imprint. The story that I did is called The King Who Ate Men. Yeah, Ponoloa, the king who ate men. It was originally called Cannibal King, but they changed it for some reason. I don't know. And so I did that story called The King Who Ate Men. And it was basically this this chief who's, I forget, he's in love with this warrior who's in love with the chief's daughter. And then that they're like forbidden from loving each other and stuff like that. And then the chief sends the warrior out to go fight this war because he doesn't want his daughter to be with that guy, so he ends up like trying to marry her off to this out of oily ass chief, and then but she doesn't
say on the pod oily.
I think that's the name of the show.
From the artwork, he was more greasy.
Yeah. But anyways, so
he was definitely shiny.
So the warrior's like he's like so badass, so like crazy. So
sure.
He just kills everybody, and then he makes it back to the village, and he finds that the chief, that oily chief, has like killed his wife.
Greasy chief.
His girlfriend with the greasy chief, and then so he goes crazy. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he kills that guy, and yeah, then he eats that guy, and then he kills like everybody in
the
world.
He's just so like, greasy. He's like, I gotta fry this guy.
Did he actually cook him?
A slab of bacon.
Not the way I drew him. I just drew
he just
him.
Ate him right there.
Whoa!
He just beat the guy up, and then he just literally ate
taking
him,
like, bites out.
Yeah, started eating him.
Nice.
Right, and
then, that's brutal.
Wow.
And like then, but actually that Cannibal King story is he's actually the bad guy for Island Tales Ponoloa. Story that main story, and that's
but yours is the origin of
mine's is the origin of the
how he went.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how can anybody get their hands on a copy of Island Tales? Is it available?
They're out of print right now, right?
eBay.
eBay?
No, you could.
I've got one, so I'm selling it for $1 million.
Wow,
we had them in stock here at Mount Comics,
like,
but
I got out like if since we're on podcasts and all of that.
Well, this is a Kaku YouTube, it's all over the place. Millions watch.
Yeah. I can get in touch with the owner and get some copies out.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, like,
oh,
that's cool.
It's high, in high demand. When you even just tell people about
right,
it,
yeah.
People are like, "I need that comic."
And
right
you
now.
And you did the artwork for that.
I did the artwork.
We brought some back from last Amazing Con, mm-hmm. and it sold out like
so,
1 week.
We got just a little more time left here, DJ. So let's talk about something about your current work, which is Ixillion. Mm-hmm. You are on your third issue. Mm-hmm. Okay, how many issues are you going?
I'm gonna go
six.
Six, and it's actually supposed to be 12, but I'm going to rest after six, and it's a night, like, I capped the story.
It's like two,
six.
Maybe
yeah,
you
like
do
two,
a second arc if
yeah,
you
yeah,
want.
Do
yeah.
you find yourself, and I don't mean to equate you with Todd, but you both are artists, Todd has a tendency to do multiple stories or multiple comics at once. Do you find yourself more in the tone of concentrating on one comic, finishing it off, and then moving on?
Yeah, but I'm always getting work, so...
He got work. He's doing Amakua.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been helping out the... We didn't even touch on that yet.
We haven't even touched on the fact that he's part of the Hawaii Comic Book Alliance.
So
we did now.
Yeah.
I did...
congratulations!
Queens!
I did, I think it's three of the Amakua Locked Up. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
right. Locked Up. Not the cover. Mark Gold did the cover, but I did, half of the interiors for that one.
Fantastic.
And then I'm also doing the Monocomics double feature, the Phantom Surfer story. I'm doing that one. So right
I
now,
I just saw some of the inks.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. I showed Alika and format
some
yeah.
killer panels
and
man
colors sure. and stuff yeah
now you also are doing a bit of work alongside one of our Nerdwatch compatriots Format. Speaking of Format is writing a story and you found his work to be pleasing enough for your sensibilities that
you
did
the weirdest adjectives man.
It doesn't sound like much of a sell.
You were so pleased by it.
not really much to sell.
But you
really.
Were, but you were doing some drawings for some of his characters because Format is doing. He's also into fantasy.
Right.
He's doing a fantasy book, a fantasy tale about magic and the like.
Yeah.
You volunteered to help him out with some characters that helps him write his stories.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
more So you have something to warm up on.
Right, yeah.
Before doing the actual work.
Yeah, so when I draw, I usually do, like, warm-up sketches.
Sure.
And so I bumped into one of his, like, Facebook posts where he, like, linked to some of the stuff he's writing for his D&D stuff. And mm-hmm. so I started
from the weekly D&D group that used cool. to be here in Maui
Comics. So I started reading him, and I, like, for you know, I still, like, reading, like, a lot of it. Like,
sure.
You know what I mean? And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then so I was like, and so, you know, the inspiration was, you know, starting to, like, spark. And also, I started reading more, and I was like, so then I think I messaged you, on Facebook. Yeah. And then I said, you know, I just told him, you know, if you get, like, I'm, like, for me as an artist, I'm always looking for something new to, like, draw. And sometimes you get tired of drawing the same, or, like, Batman, Superman, Wolverine, all of that, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
For some reason, I cannot warm up with my own characters for some reason. And so, sometimes you just get tired of thinking of, like, trying to create something just to warm up. And right. so I asked him, because I was, you know, full on the inspiration, so I asked him if he had characters. And he sent me over some of the character, like, bios and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I started, like, I just did, like, three of them, and, you know, it was pretty fun, so.
Not to sell it even further, but, I mean, that's a story that, you know, after you're done with Exilion, you could.
you know how eager he is to jump into another fantasy tale.
You can help out and do a little comic book graphic novel style with our very own format, which would be amazing. But seriously, so do you have plans?
Seems like a lot of work.
It does, doesn't it?
Do it you is have a lot of work? Yeah.
Do you have plans after Exilion? I mean, are you thinking about stuff or
movies?
After Exilion?
Yeah, after Exilion. Are you? I mean, because you said six issues, you're up to three, so you got three more
to
go.
I'm gonna do 12, and then after, like, I have nothing written after 12, but probably I had the idea that I would actually ask you on format if you were willing to, like, I don't know, do, because after 12, like, it's. The way the story I have set up, it starts off, like, it ends at a good place where a new adventure can start with a new nucleus of characters. And I'm blank at that point. Like, I know the broad strokes of what happens in the long run, there's, like, a set of
adventures. Oh, Format would pick up the arc on Exilion and try to continue.
Format's a very talented writer, so yeah.
If he was interested, you know what I mean?
No, we get it, we get it. The Polynesians work together, and that's fine, get it, that's fine.
Yeah, don't feel left out, Gene.
Like, I actually had people help me out with them.
Wait,
with
he's going to quit Exilion and just start podcasting.
That's what it is easier.
Like Todd.
Yeah.
There's no more new issues of Kukui Project. It's all just podcast.
That's really cool because you could actually...
We're just going to act out the next issue of Kukui Project.
You could collaborate with someone about your own characters and get a different take on it, which would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be... After I saw his writing, I was like, oh, this guy could do something.
I'd be down,
like,
for that.
Yeah.
It seems like
you
vibe.
It would be fresh, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's got fresh eyes. Like, I had to do the... Like, I actually... not hired, but I actually worked with two separate writers to get Exilion out because I'm not a writer. Like, I couldn't write. I could draw for days and days and days, but I couldn't get the story out. So when I was doing my digital webbing all of that, I worked with one writer, and I didn't like what he was doing with the story. And so I kind of pulled it from him, and then I got this other writer, and I liked what he was doing, but he wasn't, like, he didn't know the characters, like, it was inside me, you know what I mean? He didn't know, so he kept writing different, like, the voices kept changing because his version of the characters and mine was different.
Right.
And so I knew I had to just do it myself, but by working with him, and that's, I credit him, actually, on the book. His name is Niels van Eekelen or something. He's from, like, the Netherlands or something like that, someplace far away. And
how did you hook up with those
digital webbing?
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, Midnight Studios, but that was all from digital webbing. But so he helped me out, and then I got, like, enough, I guess, confidence to start writing my own story.
Cool.
And so I knew I wanted to do, like, the first 12 just to get it out and establish each character and what their voice is and what the motivation and the way the world works and the way the magic and all of that stuff, because every book is different and everybody has their own ideas. But once I had that 12 under my belt, then I could then say, here, to some writer and check this out, and is this something you would be willing to do? And
well, that's interesting.
You work within the confines of what I already, you know, right. established.
And that's funny, because that's exactly what Format's doing with his characters.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said
that's kind of what D&D is.
Yeah. Right.
And it's interesting that Format can take each of the...
Format's original story from some of the stuff
I listen
read
to them actually.
Really
I listen to them play these D&D games in live time, and then the coherent narrative that Format takes, because... D&D is just a bunch of dice rolling, and here comes this thing, and then, you know, you're like...
Oh, no, just say it, nerds. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Bunch of dice chuckers.
Dice chuckers.
But, I mean, it's really interesting style of storytelling, and to be able to form a coherent narrative from that is a talent.
It is quite a talent, absolutely. I can completely agree. Now, listen, DJ, we're almost out of time for this pod, but I would like to say this. I want you to tell us, what is next for the Big Island, I guess you could say, local music star and comic book writer? What's next on the docket for DJ Keavekane?
Okay. Music-wise, get one CD coming out. We only get one song. Kaleo Mali only get one song. It's called... We always call it Homegrown, or I'll give you guys a link.
Okay,
it's online. People can find it.
Yeah, nice. It's the CD's not out yet. I think it comes out in like November or something.
How many tracks the CD's gonna have?
The CD I think has like 10 or 12 tracks, but we just do one track.
And you're on with
it's a compilation album. All the homegrown like Hilo, Big Island bands and stuff like that.
Cool.
So one of our boys, Ace Lofmiller, he does CDs and all of that, so he wanted to do one of those, so we got one track on that. And as far as like the comics, I'm working on Mana Comics double feature. Yeah, that one.
Phantom Surfer.
The Phantom Surfer.
Yeah, for those of you that are listening.
Yeah.
And that double feature is going to be Phantom Surfer and Soul Hot.
Right. And then issue 4, I'm working on issue 4 still yet. And then me and Todd was talking about doing something... Todd's doing the research because Todd is the brain guy and I'm just the artist.
Wait. Are you sure? Just checking.
Hey, that's the way I sold it, G. Oh. We might do a true story from Hawaiian history.
Oh, together. Cool. Cool.
So we'll see with that. I mean, he's not too busy.
You because you're, of course, you're the Kukui Project. We talk about it every week. So that would be kind of... That'd be kind of cool to collaborate on something like that. That'd be kind of cool. So almost like your own Island Tales, almost, you could say, maybe?
No, it's more based on a true...
It's a true story. There's not going to be as much... maybe there'll still be
not
some
as much
fantastic
like,
element.
Yeah, there's not going to be...
Cannibalism?
There'll be mythology, but it's not going to be...
it's more historic.
It's more historic.
Right. Not like Polynesian space or anything.
It's going to be...
That's
going to
be the sequel.
Cosmonauts.
After they jump the shark.
Well, it's... it'll lead to that.
Okay.
Jump the Manu.
I knew
Sorry.
I knew it would all veer right back to the Kukui Project.
It jumps the fish pond. Not the shark.
Nice.
The local.
Cannibals in space.
So we can look for your comics. Do you sell them just in local comic book stores, online? Where can we get them?
You can get them at Maui Comics and Collectibles, mm-hmm. Enjoy Comics, in Honolulu Dragon's Lair, and Other Realms.
Fantastic.
Or you can hit me up on Facebook, Exilian. And message me.
Fantastic. Where do we find you on Facebook? Just look up...
Exilian. Yeah.
Exilian?
Yeah.
All right.
E-X-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Thank you, Todd Bernardi.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you, DJ, for coming by. coming up on the show, by the way, I just want to let you guys know that we're going to be doing an episode of Magnum, and it's going to be...
Magnum!
We're going to do a show more themed towards Halloween and horror movies and the like, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be doing that very soon. You can find that exclusively on Audio Boom at this point. We can... We're
actually
recording
just going to be spending an hour debating who we think Negan killed.
That's true. We're going to do that as well. Talk about The Walking Dead coming back, which would be crazy.
Yeah, it should be good.
DJ's also going to maybe go digital too. So
fantastic!
Oh, yeah.
What are some digital colored comics that you like? That I mean, I guess they're all digitally colored right now. But
Legend of Wonder Woman is all digital.
It's all digital.
Yeah, cool. Isn't a lot of DC and Marvel is all digital color.
A lot of that stuff. Do you like? I mean, do you?
It's gonna save me on paper and ink.
Fantastic.
He was pretty stoked about it selling it to me today. Yeah. So I was like, yeah.
Hey,
I'm an analog guy. I like paper and.
Hey, Todd. We're running out of time.
But yeah, but I mean, finally, I got to the topic that I wanted to get to.
Well, we'll talk about it on Magnum. But we've got to say goodbye to these guys because they don't have much time left. Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, to follow us every single week here on the podcast. Watch us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can message Todd Bernardi there as well and see his pretty looking mug and the rest of us as well.
Sorry.
You can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation, and you can follow us on Instagram at @the_NerdWatch.
Somehow I like it when you single me out, and somehow I'm like, oh, wait.
Don't forget, coming up next month, we will be doing the premieres of Doctor Strange, which will be fantastic. And the day after that, 2 days after that, actually.
Maui Comic Con.
Maui Comic Con is happening, the first annual Maui Comic Con in Lahaina. It's going to be a lot of fun.
November 5th and 6th,
November
baby. Free to the public.
And 6th, free to the public. You're going to don't want to miss it.
10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Steve Lealoha is going to be there. DJ Kevikani is not going to be there, but his work will be represented.
Show DJ, that's DJ's uncle-in-law, so he's the reason Steve Lealoha is going to be there. Big ups this DJ for helping us get there.
Awesome.
A lot more people from the Hawaii Comic Book Alliance will be there as well, so you can check it out at MauiComicCon.com is where you can get all the information you need. MauiComicCon.com. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen, so for myself, G-Money, for the one and only, the very talented local comic book artist, DJ Cavicani, thanks for coming, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Not a problem.
The one and only Todd Bernardi in the house as well, and for Format, and for Gannon, and for the comic book chairman himself, Alika. Peace out.
And the henchman, Swan.
Yeah, and the
Thank
henchman,
so
Swan,
much.
For taking pictures and
hey,
what
Swan,
whatnot.
Wave at the camera.
Peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy, stay tuned for Magnum, and until next time, we say to you guys,
Magnum.
Aloha.
Gannon's fingers smell funny.